So I chose to treat her with everolimus and exemestane. And just with her, I started with 5 milligrams of everolimus rather than 10, because with her, I was worried that if she developed mucositis, she would not give me a chance to dose reduce. She would just want to be off of it. So my plan was to do 5 and then escalate up. I did the prophylactic corticosteroid mouthwashes with her. So once again, she did well with it. She had no mucositis. After about 2 months of treatments, I got a PET scan, which actually showed a complete resolution of her liver met with 5 milligrams of everolimus and exemestane. So I didn't bump up the dose anymore since she had a complete response and she was doing well. She remained on that dose for approximately a year, and then she did develop a palpable right axillary lymph node. On imaging, she had other disease in the mediastinal adenopathy was seen. So this was interesting because at that time she was aware that I was doing genomic sequencing. And again, as somewhat of a medically savvy person, she herself came to me and said she wanted a biopsy done for next generation sequencing. So I wouldn't have necessarily done that. So this was driven by her. And fortunately, what happened was she got the biopsy, and the next generation sequencing showed that her tumor was now ERPR positive and HER2NU positive. Again, it was HER2NU negative at the time of diagnosis, and when she developed metastatic liver disease, it was HER2NU negative. But now it's HER2NU positive, HER2NU amplified, and I confirmed this with just traditional FISH analysis. So when I'd gotten the biopsy, I'd already started on capecitabine therapy while the NGS was cooking. By the time the genomics came back and she was discussed, she had already started responding to capecitabine in the axilla. So although the HER2NU amplification result was available, because she was already responding to capecitabine, I didn't change anything. I left her on capecitabine only. About a few months later on, she had developed progressive disease on capecitabine, and then I started her on therapy with the CLEOPATRA regimen, pertuzumab, trastuzumab, and the only thing I did differently was I did the weekly paclitaxel as opposed to the every 3 week docetaxel. And she's once again had a complete response to this therapy and now is on maintenance therapy with pertuzumab and trastuzumab only without any cytotoxic chemotherapy.
So, Sarah, I guess the obvious question is, at least one of the first questions here would be, what happened in terms of the HER2? Is this a real evolution? Do you think it could have been missed in the first assay? How do you explain what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I think it is an unusual case. You know, gaining HER2 over the course of metastatic disease is rare. Usually it's about 8 to 10% of breast cancer cases. It's not very prevalent. And so that would be unusual. I think what we see a little more commonly is that original primary cancers can be heterogeneous. And so sometimes some cancers have a little bit of HER2 negativity and positivity. And then later on, when you see a different tumor recur in the metastatic setting, maybe it was that those HER2 positive clones survived and caused a metastatic recurrence. And this is the complexity of heterogeneous tumors. So I don't think we have an answer here for why this occurred, whether it was that she had baseline heterogeneity, whether or not this was due to a new primary cancer that developed an axillary recurrence, or whether the tumor truly did evolve. I think they're all possible scenarios, so it's hard to know.